I too believe that this new format fits perfectly into the message that God has been preparing me for the last few months. When I saw the schedule for the preachers and I saw what day that I was to do the sermon, I began to work on this. And no matter how much you study and how much you read and how much you pray, except the Holy Spirit touches you and gives you the words to say, it will not come across. So if you'd bow your heads, I'm going to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, help me say the things that need to be said in the Spirit that you would have me deliver it. Lord, we see a great need. We see the church encircled by enemies. We see Satan has his sights on the church. He wants to break it up. He wants to cause confusion. He wants the people to scatter and not have a shepherd. But Lord, we know that your word says that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that you would inspire me now to deliver this message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Connie was reading the scriptures, you might have thought, what kind of scriptures are these? Well, you know, there is a correct way of worshiping God, and there is an incorrect way of worshiping God. Did you know that?
Yes.
There is. God wishes to be worshipped a certain way, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. But he wants it done according to his ways. He has it set down in his word what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Cain found out that there was a wrong way of worship. Cain was sincere. Cain thought his way was good enough. Cain was wrong.
Right.
You know, we just can't do this haphazardly. We just can't do it according to how we feel. But there is a correct way. I thought I would talk about how we worship God, in particular in music and in demonstration, and how we conduct ourselves on the Sabbath day and how we conduct ourselves during the week as far as music, as far as worship, as far as being joyful and happy and full of praise and worship. We can be that way every day of the week.
Amen.
If you love Jesus, it's going to show. If you know the truth, it will come out. People will see in your life whether you are with Christ or whether you are a phony. There are two kinds of worship in the world today. There is real, true worship, and there's the fake and the phony and the sham. And it seems like the fake and the phony and the sham is the most popular of religious expression today. I do not knock honest and sincere Christians in all the churches who may worship different from us. That's not what this is about. What this will be about is the power of music, how it can be used aright and how it can be used a wrong way. Music worldwide is what you accompany to ceremony and ritual. It is an aid to work and routine. Do you ever whistle while you work?
Yes.
Is there music in your soul? There is in mine. I can't go anywhere without singing. If I'm not singing out loud, I'm singing in my heart. It's just there. It's how I worship God. And sometimes it sounds all right, and other times it just sounds terrible. But my heart is there. Oftentimes I've woke up in the night and heard singing. And here Jean is singing in her sleep. She says she's singing with the angels. And I believe she is. Music is an expression of universal and unchanging human emotions of love, joy, happiness, anger, sorrow, and grief. All these things can be expressed by poetic and by musical means. Nothing appeals to my soul more than heartfelt worship and praise to God, where as a congregation, a bunch of us all get together and just look to Jesus and worship Him and praise Him. This is what Sabbath is all about. Thank you, Lord, for creating this wonderful world, which we flawed by our disobedience, but which is still glorious, which is still wonderful, which still shows forth your handiwork. What a wonderful thing, the creation of God, and we, the creation of God, are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But do you know that the word music is not even biblical? It's there, but it's a translation. Music actually comes from musike. It's Greek mythology. Musike is the art of the muses. Now, do you know who the muses are? They were inspirational gods or goddesses of Greek mythology who inspired poets and musicians. And that's where muse turns into music. It's the art of the muses. They were daughters of the god Zeus. We have to be careful what we call music and what we're doing with it. They inspired men and women to dance and sing. Oh, and we think music is simply melodies? Now, to a lot of folks, musing is pondering and thinking and taking time to reflect. Well, what music is melody, harmony, sound, rhythm, and poetry. And one fact about music is that it is in the ear of the listener, because some folks' music is other people's noise. Now, if you've ever been a teenager, your music was your parents' noise. And now, when I look back at what I used to call music, I see what they mean. When I first gave my heart to Jesus, I really liked rock and roll. And to me, church music was boring, because the church that I was in was an apostate church, and they sang a lot of the old hymns of the church, but it was very dull and boring. But when I was 18, I was converted to the Lord, gave my heart to Jesus, but I went to a Pentecostal church to get it. And there are folks that actually get saved in the Pentecostal church. They do. In spite of all the things that we might say, oh, that's wrong, this is wrong, oh, that's terrible, oh, that's... Folks actually do get saved there. And they actually do come out of it, do get straightened around. But I learned a lot about music, how to use music to make people happy, how to use music to create a mood in the church that was conducive to the message that the preacher wanted to preach. And one thing I learned about music is that I could manipulate folks with it. I could make them happy, or I could make them sad, or I could make them just do about anything you think of. And you get kind of a power trip when you're a song leader and you can make people happy and you can get them excited. But that's not the purpose of music. Right. Music in the church is to praise God, is to lift up Him, is to focus on Him, is to worship Him. It is not for any other purpose than to focus people's thought on the Creator, amen, on the Redeemer, on the Savior. Now, outside, in your home, in your car, or having a party at your house, you can be happy with your music. You can clap. You can sing. You can play good old gospel music and have a time. People use the example of David to say, well, we should be able to dance and sing and jump and holler and hoop and everything else in the church. David didn't do it ever in the church. Amen. David did it in the street. David never went into the house of God and made a display of himself as he did on the street. He didn't mind making a display of himself on the street because he was just showing his joy and his love for God. And it was not in the synagogue that he did it. And it was not in the temple that he did it. There is an order of service. The scriptures that I read, or that I had read in chapter 25, said, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps and with psalteries and with cymbals. The number of the workmen according to their service was. And it goes on and names all these names that poor Connie had to read. You know all those names. But harps. This is a harp, folks. A piano is a harp. It's a fancy looking one. It's got a case on it and everything, but that's a harp. I don't think they had pianos, but they had something like it. Each instrument, according to the order of service in the tabernacle or in the synagogue, had a purpose. Each of the psalms and the hymns that they sang were to be accompanied by certain instruments that had a certain sound that meant certain things. There was order to the music. If you go to a Jewish synagogue, and I've been there, I've been to the Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox, and the ultra-ultra-ultra-Orthodox, and I've seen the music in the synagogues, and I've heard the music in the synagogues, it's downplayed. It isn't the focus. A lot of the churches, it's music, music, music. And look at our wonderful choir, and look at our musicians, and look at the talent. Is that looking on God? Is that worshiping God? Is that glorifying the Lord? Sometimes, but most of the times, it's worship and glorifying ourselves. And look how talented he is, and look how talented she is. Oh, listen to that marvelous singing. But there's even a beat, there's even a rhythm that has to be subdued to the words and the melody. And if you get the melody, the harmony, the sound, the rhythm, and the poetry out of place, out of scriptural place, out of biblical place, it's wrong. When you get too much rhythm and you get too much beat and you get too much loudness and the words are missing, then what you have is a rock concert and it's not a church service. Now, how do we use music wrongly? Well, the Bible says not to use vain repetitions. And the prophets of Baal were famous for using vain repetitions. You remember when Elijah had the prophets of Baal, he says, go ahead, go to it, do what you do. And if we'd had a camera looking on that service, and then we looked into some of the services that are passed for gospel meetings these days, and see some of the antics of some of the folks, some of those churches, we would have thought we were on Mount Carmel with Elijah, and it's the prophets of Baal. Do we want that in the church? Do we want that kind of atmosphere in the church? We could do it, if that's what you want. A lot of the churches, and I remember in the Pentecostal denomination that I was in, we used to say and flaunt our worship to the other churches. Says, well, you know, that your worship is dead. You want some life. Look at the ball game. Look at the football game. If people can do that, you know, for an earthly thing, why can't we do something like that for God? And I thought, that's good logic. And then now, looking at it, that's bad logic. Because those folks in the football stands and in the baseball stands are drunk and rowdy, and who wants to act like that? Right. To act like the crowds of the world and act like the world and be like the world, is that what we want? and they work themselves into a frenzy. And when there's a score or a goal, they're up, they're going, and they're carrying on. Do we want that in the church? And it's all inspired by music and beat and things that are being used for an ungodly purpose. Now, music and magic and mysticism have been connected. Music is not evil. God gave it to us as a gift to be used in worship and in edification, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Much that more, as you see the day approaching, we need to encourage one another in the Lord. We need to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs. We can do it at home. We can do it everywhere we go. But there is an order. When we come into the presence of God with His people, the church, on the Sabbath morning, it is not the time for a hoedown. It's not the time for a party. It's solemnity. It's not solemnity in the sense that we are long-faced and we don't have joy and we don't have love and we don't have a harmony of spirit. We can have all that. We can have the most joyful personal fellowship with God if we want it. But it comes through study of the Word. It comes through knowing the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Folks that get caught up in the beat of this music that they call worship music in some of the churches today are getting caught up in the spirit of the world out of Babylon. And it is not a thing to be desired in this church. Amen. And you say, well, who do you think you are? I've been there. I've done that. And you can produce just about any kind of manifestation you want if you use the right instrument, the right song, the right chorus, sing it over and over and over again, and pretty soon you will think that you are just so spiritual and just so full of God. And what you are is full of, what is that thing that they have in medicine there, Gene, that it's a drug that you induce an excitement in yourself, produced by natural means. It's a drug that's produced in the body that makes you excited, hyperventilate, and anything is possible. Now, I'm not telling you this to brag or to say that I'm something, but I have been in services, and I was sincere, and I really meant what I was doing. But I have laughed until I cried, and cried until I'd laughed again. And I've jumped, and I've hollered, and I've hooped, and I've ran around the church, and I've fallen on my face, and I've fallen on my back, and I spoke the gibberish that I believed was tongues. And I spoke it for hours. There is an excitement that comes. Mrs. White talks about that. It is not new to the 19th or the 20th century. It was back in the time when this church was beginning, we had this. We had tongues. We had excitement. We had fanaticism. And fanaticism is not what we want in this church. Amen. Now, you know, when there's a little story about a little boy in Netherlands. There was a hole in the dike. And you remember the story of the little boy that put his finger in the dike? Now, the dike keeps the water from coming in and flooding. And that little crack, if he had not put his finger in the dike, then the dike would have broken and everybody would have had a tragedy and the water could have come in. And we are surrounded by forces that want to break us down and want to infiltrate us and want us to become like the world. You know, it is truly Sodom, Gomorrah, Babylon, whatever you want to call it. That world is pressing on us. Amen. And wants us to conform. We want to conform to the Word of God. We want to conform to the Bible. We want to conform to His way and His type of worship. When they came in to the presence of God, what did they bring in the temple? Did they bring dancing? Did they bring celebration? Did they bring jumping and joyfully carrying on and babbling and carrying? What they brought was a sacrifice. You did not come in to the temple without a sacrifice. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise. Think about something to praise God about. Think about being thankful for what He has done. Think about His many blessings. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise in your heart. And come expecting God to meet you. But if you come in and you completely get off into the flesh, then how are you glorifying God? Jesus and the disciples sang a hymn just before leaving the Last Supper. There is good music and there is music that is not good. The corrupt use of music is very dangerous and potentially harmful. Now, there's medicinal benefits to music. There's lullabies. There's inspiration and motivation. There's storytelling. There's teaching. You can learn from a ballad. Sometimes songs are amusing. Now the military person knows the wake-up music. They don't like that. They like the one that says, go to sleep. There's ones that give a message, like charge, retreat, march. There's nothing more inspiring than seeing a marching band. Don't you just love marching music? You know that soldiers can march further and faster to music, march music, than just trying to walk there? It inspires them. It gives them a spring to their step. What is appropriate for divine worship and on the Sabbath? I like the new format. It centers around worship through song, call to worship, worship through invocation and welcome, worship through gifts, praise for gifts, worship through praise and petitions, worship through prayer, worship through the word. Amen. Worship, worship, worship. What is worship centered on? Is it on having a good time? Now, I find this a very good time because we're in the presence of God. We're with God's people. We're in the word of God. This, to me, is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Because the presence of God is here. We can enjoy the presence of God. But we do not have to be beside ourselves. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And something that we would teach and try to get as a desired end was to get the people excited and beside themselves. And that was called a good spiritual meeting. Do we want that here? No, because God is not the author of confusion. Amen. And if we get into that mood and that mode of worship, then that is like taking the finger out of the dike. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little things that make a big difference. What's the big deal about offering God vegetables? Well, God wants a sacrifice of blood. Of an innocent offering. He does not want vegetables. That's just the way it is. And David set up the worship so that everybody would have a chance to prophesy in the church. Did you know that? That the psalms and the order of service, each psalm gave the chance for the people to respond and prophesy, because this is what the psalms are. Prophecy in music and in poetry that everybody can participate in. The spirit of prophecy is the word of God. It is not outside the word of God. Amen. Now, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have that testimony. But if we get off into worldliness and how the world does things and try to make this like a ball game, then we're not worshiping God. We're just having a good time. I'm not against having a good time. I like a good time. I enjoy a good time. But we can do the parties and the old-fashioned gospel clapping at home, in our car, or something like that, but not on the Sabbath day, folks. The Sabbath is a holy day, set apart. Let's do it God's way. That's the whole idea of the Sabbath, is doing it God's way. Amen. Yeah. A man says, well, we could worship on any other day we want. Because what difference does it make? It makes the world of a difference. Amen. Which world are you going to be in? Do you want to be in the the world that is fading away, that is going to be destroyed by fire? Or do you want to be in the new heaven and the new earth? We need to discern the spirit of the music and how a song or hymn is rightly used, how a song or hymn is misused. When we cannot understand the words, it is not of any good to us at all. If it's all beat and all rhythm and just loud noise, it is no good to God or to us. We are destroying ourselves through lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. I'm only telling you this stuff so that you know, so that when it tries to sneak in, you can understand and you can put a stop to it. And it starts with each one of us. Trying to duplicate the Pentecostal experience through human effort and not allowing the Holy Spirit to orchestrate or to direct is witchcraft. For to try to manipulate and to try to make people do things that they normally wouldn't do through human effort is witchcraft. It really, truly is. Manipulation. How to Win Friends and Influence People is a good book. But sometimes some of the methods that people use to try to get people to do things their way are not scriptural and not right. And the end of worship is not to have a good time, but is to glorify God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to orchestrate. Now, according to conduct a worship service according to the biblical pattern would not resemble our modern services. No. In accepting the Sabbath, the gatherings and fellowships were mostly private, in-home fellowships, where believers came to be instructed in the faith and to pray. Often there was food eaten similar to the potluck suppers that we have. Folks got together, and as far as we know, Jesus and the disciples would only sing a hymn at the end, just before dismissal. At the time of Jesus, the synagogue service on the Sabbath was the pattern for church services of Christians. That's the pattern that the church followed, the synagogue service, reading of the scriptures, prayer. The cantor. See, some synagogues have choirs, but singing is not prominent. One or two songs may be sung, but most of the singing is the psalms of the cantor and the responses of the people. And they don't even have women sitting with the men. The women sit in another room or up in a balcony. The church services back in Jesus' time, the synagogue services, the temple services, were exclusive of women. Do we want that? No. That's not it. That's not what we're talking about. But we do want order in the church. There is a biblical way. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul was addressing this because there were some flaws in even the synagogue worship where if the women wanted to speak to their husbands, they screamed at them, yelled at them, and disrupted the service. So Paul says, I want you women to keep silent in the church. Now that, see, people have misinterpreted that and said, well, now women shouldn't speak in the church. And that wasn't what he was saying at all. He's saying, don't let there be disruptions in the church. Don't be yamming at one another. And the women asking questions. Women, ask your questions of your husband when you get home. Doesn't that say that in there? Doesn't say women can't preach and teach. Doesn't say that. It says women should not usurp authority over the men. But men should just stand up and do their part too. Sometimes a woman has to take over because a man won't do his part. And women become the leaders in the home because the man he abdicates. So the woman takes over. And they have to because the child has to be taught right. But men, you have to take your rightful part in the service. And women can take part too. There was great teams like Priscilla and Aquila worked together. And one was not any more important than the other. Most of the singing in these services was by the cantor. And what did he sing? The Psalms. Ecclesiastes. He sang Song of Solomon, and there were responses that the people gave. So it's all right to sing. That's why at the end we're going to sing The Lord is My Shepherd. I think it would be very appropriate to sing that. We have responsive readings in the church today. That's good. Let's keep it in the Word. Let's keep the Psalms. Let's keep the spiritual songs. Now, the prayers in the synagogue used to be kind of like chants. I've been to the synagogue, and they're rocking back and forth, and they're saying their prayers, and la, 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 la. And if you don't understand Hebrew, it sounds like tongues. But that's not what they're doing. They're praying in their known tongue, and they're praying their prayers, and they're praying the Psalms. And needless to say, much has changed. If we are to be biblical, our Sabbath worship, it needs to emphasize teaching the Bible. Prayer. Reverence for the Lord. Where is the reverence for God in dancing and rolling and shouting and jumping around and all that stuff? How is that reverencing the Lord? Then you might as well have that baseball crowd and that football crowd and say, come on in, join it. We're just the same as you. If that's what they want to be, then that's what they're doing. And believe me, I've been there. Now, nowhere in the Scriptures do you find anything that resembles hand clapping, toe tapping, shouting, and pandemonium. And that passes for worship in a lot of the churches today. It does. I've been there, done that, and I used to encourage it. I used to think I was doing real great if I got the people all excited. I thought, ah, man, we had a good service today. Not good. Jesus is all we need. It's all about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again. Jesus shed His blood. We are the recipients of His grace. That is something to be happy about. That is something to be joyful about. Let's think about what God has done for us. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Let us talk about it wherever we go. When we gather together, let's testify and talk about the good things of God. That's what they did in the church. That's what makes churches grow. When you tell your story, when you tell it to the nations, when you say, this is what Jesus has done for me. When you look at what the apostles did, Paul went everywhere telling his testimony. I was on the road to Damascus. I had letters from the synagogue. I was going to go get these folks and I was going to kill them, put them in prison. And I was stopped and the Lord spoke to me and says, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, what? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. He is the all in all. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We talk about Jesus. We live Jesus. We breathe Jesus. That's what it's all about. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Talk about the things of God. When you sing, sing a hymn. Sing a spiritual song. Sing, oh, how I love Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's joy unspeakable, full of glory. You don't need to lose your mind in order to worship God. Now, Paul was talking to King Agrippa and Festus, and he was talking about the great things of God and Jesus being raised from the dead and how God had touched him and the wonderful things that Jesus had done for him. And Agrippa said, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. He was accused of being crazy by talking about Jesus. Now, do you want to be accused of being crazy for the Lord? Yeah. I won't mind that. But if I'm just accused of being crazy and try to explain my behavior, say, oh, that's what God wants me to do in the church. No, He does not. I mean, just because folks, like I say, David is taken way out of context because of his behavior. He loved the Lord. He wrote the Psalms. You know, when you sing to sheep, you have a common effect on them. They trust you. They follow you anywhere. David knew what to do to get Saul out of a bad mood. He knew just the right song to sing. We need to be wise. We need to be smart about our singing and our worship. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you don't watch what you say, what you sing, how you worship, how you praise, then you can bring something into this church that doesn't need to be here. So watch it. Watch and pray. We are the watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel was told that if we warn a righteous man when he strays and he doesn't heed the warning, then we have delivered our souls, but his own blood will be required at his own, you know, on his own head. But we've got to warn folks. We've got to stay on top of this situation. We don't want the dike to burst. Agreed? then let's watch it. Let's enjoy our salvation. Let's enjoy the music that we have. And let's watch how we do things. And that's all I need to say today about it. How we worship God is important to Him. Let's do it His way.